Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. In this episode of the show, Chris Kelly and I explore two very, very important things in the world of professional wrestling and presidential politics. It's Vince McMahon versus AEW and the Donald versus impeachment. And for the first time in this show's history, our theme song is incredibly relevant because not only is Jesse Ventura considering entering the 2020 presidential race,
this theme song is for Jack Swagger.
Apparently, one of the top stars in AEW. Oh, also, this is the second time a billionaire has appeared on the show. Linda McMahon was on one of our first shows, and now AEW owner Tony Khan joins the show. So this is completely true. Here is Chris Kelly, Brandon Weatherby, and Tony Khan on the role of politics in professional wrestling.
It's finally here.
Yes.
The thing we've all been waiting for.
The Wednesday Night Wars.
The Wednesday Night Wars are here. And it's the same cast of characters that were in the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, because characters are welcome.
Nothing's different.
We do drama.
Nothing's different. And the best part of both shows, both SmackDown on Friday night and TNT Dynamite, was something from the 90s. It was probably two of our favorite wrestlers, Chris Jericho.
Of course.
And The Rock. Oh, I love The Rock segment. Love The Rock segment. It was perfect. It was everything I wanted in a Rock segment.
That's fair.
And Jericho was everything I didn't want in a segment until there was the unscripted part where, for the quick aside, Chris and I were actually at the event.
Yes, AEW Dynamite.
Untelevised portion of the event was a hot dog scenario.
Yes, which almost he realized he didn't want to do that again on camera because he'll just.
For the people that don't know what we're talking about, between commercial breaks in the last segment, someone threw a hot dog in the ring.
Yes.
Chris Jericho noticed the hot dog, destroyed the hot dog,
asked who threw a wiener.
And this was asked about in the press conference the scrum Chris and I attended.
The work shoot press scrum, yes.
We'll get to that later. But it's finally here.
Yeah, it's exciting. It was a big week in wrestling.
We decided not to do this before AEW because we were both attending, and you wrote the biggest piece in Washington, D.C. about AEW.
Yes, I wrote a piece in the Washington Post weekend section about AEW. Talked to a lot of the talent and the EVPs. Talked with Cody, the Bucks, the aforementioned Jericho, Nyla Rose.
Do you remember the Jericho quote that had the best quote of all?
Yeah, it's I can paraphrase.
It closes
it.
Your piece.
Yes, it's about the counter-programming with the fact that WWE, like we talked about last time, put NXT on USA against AEW. He wasn't concerned about counter-programming. He said something to the effect of, you can put on NXT, you can put on the Super Bowl, you can put on the return of Jesus Christ from above, and we're just going to do our show.
And they did.
Yeah.
They did their show.
They didn't have to worry about Jesus Christ. I watched NXT. They didn't.
No, we were there, and you enjoyed it much more than me. I enjoyed it, to be fair. To be fair, I enjoyed it.
Sure.
But there were a few things that I realized that I like about wrestling. And number one is I like it, this is not a joke, I like it for it to be family friendly.
Okay.
Now, AEW wasn't not family friendly, but comparatively, it wasn't nearly as bright. It wasn't nearly as colorful. There wasn't as much playing to the crowd in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost entirely about the action in the ring. I'd say 85%. Is that fair?
Definitely.
In a WWE show, it's maybe 45% wrestling.
Yeah, well,
and the rest is like playing to the
and
crowd.
And this is a thing that we learned in the scrum, but also I heard in all my interviews is, they're not going to start an AEW show with a 30-minute promo in the ring.
Which is fine, and I get that. But in the actual arena, the stuff that wasn't televised, it was physically darker than any WWE event I've attended at the Capital One Arena.
Yeah.
There was the signage, but you can just tell from a production standpoint, they're not at the level of WWE. Not a good thing, not a bad thing, just a very different thing.
It's very different. And I will say, I know you like the interview segments. We could kind of see it, kind of really hear it, but when I on replay, the only pre-tape interview they showed was a segment with SCU doing a Outside the White House bit.
Which was not good, which was I think that was shown in the arena.
Yeah, it was, but you couldn't hear it. Scorpio Sky does a decent Obama.
It's too good.
The problem is Obama's not the president.
That's correct.
And you get Frankie Kazarian and Chris Daniels talking about themselves being bad brothers from around the way, and they're definitely white. But, you know, that's SCU's whole gimmick. And they, I will say, the parts of the show, since it is mostly wrestling, what they're trying to do is tell stories bell to bell, which they did.
They
every
did.
Match, and threaded throughout the night. The matches kind of, certain matches were puzzle pieces. And when they do talk, like they had after that segment, they had SCU talk with Tony Schiavone. Another team comes out.
There was a reason for everything.
Everything, even when they had, you know, Jay and Silent Bob,
that there was a reason for
to
that.
Further a storyline with yeah. tag teams.
So, overall, I'd say it's definitely a good show,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely more your cup of tea than my
very
cup
much,
of tea.
Very much.
SmackDown was blatantly my cup of tea. Maybe my favorite weekly show in WWE since, like, the Pipe Bomb.
So, do you not like wrestling?
No, I'm not a big fan of wrestling.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I love the celebrity,
the sports
the Rock.
Entertainment.
I love the entertainment
okay,
aspect.
Okay, the thing
of
with
it.
The Rock, and I didn't, keep in mind, I don't watch
You didn't
the
watch
Rock.
It, yeah.
Much like Brock Lesnar, my role model, I don't watch WWE. But
I loved
I'm very aware of what happened. I know that he said that Baron Corbin looked like a meth head Burger King.
Yeah, something like that.
He talked about testicles.
Yeah, classic Rock.
Classic Rock stuff, which is aging so poorly.
It's aging perfectly because I don't know if you remember this. SmackDown premiered 20 years ago, right? I don't know if you know this, but it's finally here, Chris. Impeachment.
What's old is new again. Then, now, forever.
Whenever The Rock's on SmackDown, someone's getting impeached.
Someone's getting impeached, goddammit. Yeah, no, I mean, impeachment ages like a fine wine, but the ball jokes and Baron Corbin... last time Rock showed up a couple years ago...
This is a great time. This
also,
is a great time to talk about this.
Yeah, because he presaged the WWE's main storytelling device, which mm-hmm. is cuckoldry.
Okay, so what Chris is referring to is Monday Night Raw, not the one a day ago, the one 8 days ago, ended with a championship match of Rusev versus Seth Rollins,
sure,
which had two type of fuck finishes, one of which involved Bobby Lashley making out with IRL wife of Rusev, Lana, and
yeah.
I like to point out that Lana is the wife of Rusev when Rusev is in the ring. If Lana was in the ring, it was vice versa, then Rusev would be the husband of Lana. I'm not saying, anyways.
Yeah, no, we get you're woke.
I'm woke. Ugh. And then The Fiend comes out and attacks Seth Rollins. So that was the end of Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Two episodes ago. The most recent Monday Night Raw opens with Rusev being reminded
yeah.
that Bobby Lashley is in his bed.
Well, Rusev being reminded, don't be a smartass on Twitter as the show opens and he's getting his ass kicked by two guys while Bobby Lashley is in bed with his IRL wife.
That's how it opened.
Yeah. And the show, too. But, you know, the thing with the Rusev angle and the cuckolding of Rusev, that's spun off from a different cuckolding angle. And there was also one earlier this year where it was not really cuckolding, but it was that someone wanted to fuck her husband until he won the championship.
Really quick, we completely blew past The Rock.
No, I want to get back to
the
last time Rock was on the show, you know, he had...
Several years ago,
he had tasted Lana Strudel or some bullshit.
Yeah.
These bits that just don't... The poontang pie, these things do not age well.
I don't know if you know this, but The Rock has recently endorsed Elizabeth Warren. I don't know if you listen to the show. I know it's not...
Fan of the show.
You don't follow the product, but Elizabeth Warren's favorite show is The Rock. If Elizabeth Warren is cool with it, I'm cool with it.
Maybe she's not as woke as we think.
Moving on, speaking of not woke, which insane 70-year-old do you want to follow first, Vince or the Donald?
The Donald, because I think there's like a clear through line.
Is there?
Yeah, there's okay.
There's a whistleblower.
The first thing that happened was that we found out there's a whistleblower saying Trump on a call did something improper. As the details start coming out...
Second whistleblower comes out.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. What happened, the timeline, for people who don't follow the news, basically the we find out the details are coming. It's that he on a call with Ukraine, he asked the president of Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and Joe Biden's son, Hunter Helmsley
come
Biden.
On.
I mean, this is just not
you
even
mean,
fair.
Come on.
So, Biden's son, Hunter, which is great, and... And so Trump to go, there was nothing improper. Let me release the redacted phone call, where it's clearly improper. Short of saying the literal words quid pro quo, it's clearly a quid pro quo. He asked a foreign government to interfere in the presidential election. He says that's not what the call says. And this whistleblower, the president and his allies have said the whistleblower doesn't know what he's talking about. He wasn't there to hear this call that I've now released the text of. Since then, yes, there has been another whistleblower. There's been more information is leaked out. And then, just to make sure, the president got on the lawn of the White House and said, no, I think Ukraine should investigate, and so should China. So it's very much doubling down. When you're under attack, when there's forces that are out to get you and to remove you from your perch, you just have to go with what you got, even if it's not any good. If confessing to crime, high crimes and misdemeanors is what you got, you do it. If running cuckold angles is what you got, you do it.
So are you referencing the infamous Ministry of Darkness angle here, where Vince was behind this all along, and Trump is actually the whistleblower of himself?
No, not at all. I'm all... In the sense that he did confess to crimes.
Or are you saying that this is his steroid trial, where now Trump all of a sudden has to go on the witness stand and go, you know what? It's fucking fake, guys. It's professional wrestling. It's not real wrestling.
No, I'm comparing
sports entertainment.
Comparing it directly to Vince McMahon, who right now is under attack from AEW. Even though it's just one show.
What do you do when you go under attack? You got to go to a different country because everything's better in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, nothing ever bad happens there.
So last year at this time... Yeah. The WWE had on the books Crown Jewel. It was their second big event after the Greatest Royal Rumble. And I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't know if you remember this, Chris. I sure as hell forgot, because clearly it didn't matter whatsoever. A Washington Post columnist was brutally murdered by the Saudi Arabian regime because he was a columnist.
Yeah.
That's it. The end.
That's it. That's what happened. And it was ordered by MBS.
And then what changed?
Nothing.
Nothing changes. Absolutely. And nothing. That's why the WWE will return this Halloween. The spookiest
the
day.
The spookiest day. Let's see who is murdered.
Oh, Jesus.
There's no consequence for the WWE. There has been mainstream coverage about how other companies are returning to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
WWE, they like to be a leader. They've been there the whole time. They didn't go anywhere. And nothing happened negative to them. Their stock price is fine. There was a big piece in the Wall Street Journal about... That $50 million a year really keeps the light bulbs on, turns out, at Stanford. And, they're back there. It's for a show that is not in canon. It's basically a glorified house show for an audience of Saudi royalty.
Yeah.
And the people who are forced to be there.
So the last year's show, the big, like, what the fuck is this, was Shawn Michaels returning to the ring
embarrassing
since
himself.
His quote-unquote retirement against The Undertaker, facing The Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah.
Mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
Right. And Hunter, not Biden. Hunter.
This sounds like we're insane.
Yeah, it does.
This all happened.
Earlier this year, The Undertaker and Goldberg almost died there.
Yes, that's true. I completely forgot about that.
Hopefully this year, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair will die there.
Oh, that's right.
We never know.
The most recent Saudi event was how they brought back Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, because he's cool there. Because when you're murdering journalists, saying the N-word is not so bad comparatively.
Hulkamania running wild is very different.
Yeah, when things run wild over there, it is a bad time. But it's not in canon, yet they will spend many months building up the show that I will not watch, because I'm not going to watch Saudi propaganda.
This is when you stop subscribing
pretty
to
much,
the network.
Yeah.
And
it just became too much, because it's like, it's literally, I mean...
Because you're woke.
Well, yes, obviously. And there's no, I do like to say that there's no, ethical consumption in capitalism, but you can make, there's differences, right? There's differences.
And this is what I wanted to talk about, and how it gets back to AEW.
Mm-hmm.
We had press tickets, you were covering for the Washington Post, I was covering for British Tech Things, the same type of level of credibility there.
Yeah.
And we were in the press room, and we got to talk to, first time I've ever actually talked to a billionaire. A legit billionaire.
Yes.
Unlike some people. No, this is the second time. I've talked to Linda McMahon.
Okay.
So this is the second wrestling billionaire I've talked to. Tony Khan.
You talk to other types of billionaires or just the wrestling?
Just the wrestling billionaire.
Okay.
I have a strict rule. So far, I'm two for two. So Tony Khan, for some reason that I will never understand, is participating in these scrums with the media.
Because he's a fucking mark.
He's clearly a mark. And... the big surprise, and this is why I'm laughing at you out loud, of AEW's initial Dynamite episode was the return of Jack Swagger to the ring.
Yeah, Jake Hager, Bellator competitor.
Which
beat
is
up two tin cans.
Exactly. So,
have you seen the guys that he fought?
No.
Google it. If listeners, Google Jake Hager, Bellator. Get the weigh-in photos of the two guys. One looks like Jack Black, and one looks like... like Jeremy Renner in 40 years if he only drank booze.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's a handsome fellow, but he can't really...
Hawkeye's cool.
Should not be in the squared octagon.
So, Jack Swagger is... I don't think I think it's fair to say Jack Swagger is most well known for his WWE gimmick, We the People.
Yes.
Essentially, no, he was like the alt-right before the alt-right.
It was Tea Party.
It was Tea Party before it was alt-right. Before the alt-right.
Which is all the same, yeah.
And this is what, Jack Swagger is one of the reasons why I got super into wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you love tea parties.
At the Mania where Donald Trump was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, Jack Swagger took on, I want to say, Alberto Del Rio.
That sounds right.
And his manager essentially gave Trump the playbook for the 2016 election. Here's his manager, Dutch Mantel, talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you.
There you go.
Donald did. At WrestleMania 29, I went out and I did the promo, and I was doing this, and this We the People, and he was there. You know, please rise, put your hand on your heart, We the People. So he was in the box. So later on, I went back sitting in the viewing area, and he walked up to me. He walked in. I saw him walk in. Walked in with his two sons and Ivanka, his daughter. Beautiful girl. And then he saw me, and he came over. And he put his hand out like this, and he said, fantastic, fantastic. I loved your interview. And then he walked away. But what he did, he watched it, and he basically took We the People and is using it today. And I'm not, he just stole the gimmick. Gimmick infringement. Big case of it.
Okay, so I'm fascinated because this is when WWE is being super political. They have Hillary versus Brock matches, and et cetera. It doesn't matter. The point is this. He's their big get, right?
Right.
And he comes out. So what does the AEW crowd chant last week at the Capital One Arena?
We the People.
We the People, which is an inherently political chant.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Tony Khan, are you going to lean into this? Tonight's show wasn't explicitly political in any way, except Jack Swagger came out and ends with a We the People chant. So will AEW shy away from politics or lean in?
I wasn't like we were expecting people to chant that or do that. So, I'm not trying to get very specific about what we're going to do creatively there, but I mean, you never know.
Did you see presidential candidate Andrew Yang's supportive tweet about your show tonight?
Yeah, we've had a lot of political interests about our shows. I think what they trend, politicians are very, very, very savvy people.
Yeah.
They're very savvy about trends. And when we, Double or Nothing was the number two trending thing in the world behind, what was number one? Was it like an earthquake that night? So when we were the number two trending thing in the world, we had political interest in that as well, and there was the next day after Double or Nothing, there was a lot of tweeting, and I believe AOC.
Yeah, which is the opposite party of somebody in the WWE Hall of Fame, so I was wondering, is there going to be a lane for you that maybe no one's occupying? It maybe is a little bit of a bluer lane.
I don't know. I can't really speculate on it. Like, I think it's cool to, like, people, when people tweet about us, and I think, again, politicians are very savvy, and that's why, like, a lot of politicians, when we've trended and been the number one trending on Twitter or the number two trend in the world on Google, that we're going to see a lot of political tweets, and I imagine we'll see things from both sides. And I can't comment on it. That's what I'm getting good advice here. Man.
And to me, that's a bullshit answer because you are saying that you're not going to lean into it, that you're not going to follow politics, but you bring in one guy, and it's the one guy with a political angle.
I will say, I'll eat my hat if when he shows up on TV and talks, which they should not let him because there's nothing wrong with a lisp. Cody has one. But, you know, he's not as intimidating on the mic as he is physically since
he's
a legit 6'5". You can build him bigger. But he is coming in, and his character in this is Jake Hager, real-life MMA fighter, which he is. And he's just the muscle for Jericho. Could that role have gone to literally any other big man in wrestling that was available? Yeah. Could it have gone to Killer Cross? If he probably hadn't signed with WWE, it would have. But, like, I think it's I know why you don't think. I think when the fans are chanting We the People, it's a surprise moment, and they're not. There's literally nothing else to chant.
I understand
Jack
that.
Swagger.
I don't agree with you.
Yes.
Here's why. What was on the AEW poster for the Capital One Arena show?
Briefly, the White House.
It was the White House. They were leaning into it. They were a lot of winking at we're in the nation's capital.
Yeah.
As they should. Where was the one pre-tape package?
Right, the White House.
Okay.
You're in D.C.
I get that. Yeah. Sure. But what is the one thing the WWE is not touching?
They won't touch it because they will not touch politics with Trump.
Trump has not been mentioned on their programming since he's been elected.
And when one thing got mentioned, it was quickly scrubbed.
Okay.
When Russian interference was mentioned, it was quickly
scrubbed. Tony Khan is trying to have it both ways. No one is willing to say this is what we represent. Yeah. This is why WWE is doing it slightly better, because they're like, yeah, we'll take the racist Hogan. Yeah, yeah, we'll take the billions of Saudi, sorry, the millions and millions and millions of Saudi money and do
how
all
many
these
journalists
horrible
did they
things.
Kill?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
And then we're doing the Sujin G. Komen. They're playing at both sides way better than AEW is. Right. Where AEW, and your piece really did a great job doing this, highlighting how we're inclusive to everyone. Mm. We want to bring everyone into the fold. And what I'm saying is, I'm not involved in either of this. Why don't you just say, yeah, we're the lane for these people. We're the lane for the progressive fan.
Right. I think they don't. Yeah, they
is
don't.
Is this the
do
Michael
it.
Jordan Republicans buy shoes too argument?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to gain from them saying that.
Oh, I disagree completely.
You think like liberal, like people who don't like wrestling but who are progressive are all of a sudden like going to watch AEW Dynamite? Like, I don't think there's a real.
There's never been a progressive wrestling show.
Wrestling doesn't need to have. Other than what we do, it doesn't have the show doesn't have to have be about politics.
It doesn't. But when you bring in Jack Swagger, and all you have to do to bring in Jack Swagger and not get that chant, you give me one vignette before, and he goes, "I'm Jack Hager," and you never mention the other stuff. You give him a thing.
You can't do
what
it
were
with surprise.
People chanting about Bubble? Sorry, about Jericho. They were chanting about Bubbly. They weren't chanting about the
you
list.
You can't. They kind of the happenstance. We're just going to disagree on this one because the happenstance of the guy they brought in was that that's his most popular gimmick. And then in real life, he's a bit of a right-wing chud. And so they're going to have to deal with that. But I'd be really surprised if they do anything that even flirts with politics again.
Speaking of the most popular gimmick, I think for both companies, both political parties as well, the most popular man in professional wrestling right now is probably The Fiend.
Sure.
Bray Wyatt, a character who I'm indifferent about.
Okay, I enjoy.
This was from Politico today. It was from Playbook. From Anita Kumar. An unavoidable, unforced error. Trump's Ukraine trap starts worrying allies. I altered this paragraph to be about the WWE, sort of by Anita Kumar and Brandon Weatherby. An avoidable, unforced error. Vince's Hell in a Cell trap starts worrying allies. High-level Vince supporters who have stood by the chairman for years are growing increasingly unsettled by his latest strategy of dismissing the latest fight as House of Horrors 2.0. Half a dozen senior WWEers, including those who both talked directly to Vince and advise him on everything from campaign strategy to booking, communications and philanthropy, said in interviews that they fear the chairman's plan to tie The Fiend and Bray could be ineffective because it dismisses the seriousness of the fan base and the fact that he admitted his actions.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened to both of the chairmen.
So did you see what happened? Do you,
I'm
this
aware
is,
of what
this
happened.
Is what wrestling Twitter is upset about.
This is what wrestling fans say. I disagree that it's just Twitter.
I think it's just Twitter.
Well, then watch the video of 10,000 fans booing and chanting for AEW and calling for refunds at the show, because that was a shit finish. There was basically a Hell in a Cell match is a, you've seen the clip before, even if you've not seen wrestling, it's Undertaker throwing Mankind off of it into an announce table, almost killing a man. There's literally no disqualification in the match. That is the style of match. It's not a regular cage match, WWE style, where you can climb out of it. The idea is it has to be a submission or a pinfall. Last year they also messed it up, but it was like less egregious. This year they ended the match for kicking too much ass, which is not a disqualifiable offense in an ODQ match. And so it's a wet fart of an ending where no one really wins. No one they're so afraid they're trying to protect everyone. It's like when everyone's a winner, no one's a winner, and that's what that ends up. And that's why it's a bad finish.
I think Vince is the winner. Cause
yeah, I mean that you can always just say that, like, how's your promotion doing? How's your stock price doing? But I think it was the right booking.
It's the right booking.
Why?
Because everyone's talking about it.
See, this is the thing that they do. They go, we're there to get a reaction. So getting booed, if I shit in my hand and throw it in the ring, that's a reaction. They would say that's a good thing.
I don't think people would cheer.
Well, they're set, but under their rubric of everything that's a reaction is good. It's the bullshit metric they use. If people are pissed, they're talking about it. But that's not... When people are canceling their subscriptions, that's a reaction. Do you want to see those numbers? And when people are turning the channel off at NXT, when they start doing this type of booking, that's a reaction too.
Yeah, there was an AEW chant, which brings which ties us all together. So let's close with this. Who do you think's in a worse spot right now?
Mm-hmm.
The chairman of WWE or the Donald of the WWE?
I'll talk it out. Okay, so the Donald, this is the first time we've done this podcast and wrote the book and covered this stuff for 4 years.
Yeah,
and
that's too long.
This is the first time where I've been like, oh man, this starts to feel like the drip drip of this actually matters this time.
Okay.
And especially now he's losing allies on a side issue with how he's kind of off the rails with his handling of Syria.
Thank you.
And so he's actually losing the few allies, not people that you know,
or
people
or,
that, like, don't matter, like Mitt Romney. They can say whatever they want.
Or he's changing the topic.
It's not working, because all it's doing is...
It's not working, yes, but what's going on today, well, as we record this on October 8th, he's saying, you know what, maybe I'm wrong about the Kurds. Maybe I'm going to back them now.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a really smart, really great redirect.
No, so many people will die, but also the stories about the, if the Democrats do it right, which is a big if... This impeachment, whether it removes him from office, it's going to be a cloud. It potentially be a cloud all the way from a year from now. It should be if they have any sense of strategy, because that's what you do. You keep your foot on someone's neck. You don't let them up and go, well, we did our job, and pat your hands and call a day. Whereas Vince is fine. Even when AEW does better than NXT every week, which is going to happen.
Agreed.
AEW is one show. They've got multiple shows. They've got the Fox money for 4 years. They've got the Saudi money. In, you know, as long as journalists keep getting killed in that country, and he's fine. You know, it's the pipe bomb. You know, the company will be just run by the doofus son-in-law. So Vince is fine. I mean, it's who suffers is the idea that AEW is like competition was going to be good. It's that right now Vince is just like Trump. They're like, hey, there's competition. There's people coming for you. You better focus on this. And he goes, how about more cuckolding and fuck finishes? And they're like, no, that's wrong. And so the same thing Republicans are like, this Ukraine thing is real. And he's like, how about we have the Kurds get slaughtered by the Turks? And they're like, no, that's wrong. You're doing the wrong playbook right now. And so it's the first time the two of them have played.
And this is why I love The Rock's promo. Because at the end of the day...
Is that what you think?
Yeah, that's exactly...
It doesn't